Hello, everyone. Welcome to Matthew and Friends. I am Susie Ward, Matthew's mother. In 1980, when Matthew was 17, he was in a fatal vehicle crash, and almost 14 years later, he and I connected telepathically. One of the first things he told me is that in our family's pre-birth planning, all of us agreed on his death at that young age. He told me that everyone on earth makes these agreements before we're born. And the agreements are designed for the spiritual growth of every soul closely involved in the lifetime. And we choose emotional and physical hardships to balance other lifetime experiences. Well, the very concept of pre-birth agreements and all that matching up of souls was mind-boggling to me. But it was especially difficult for me to accept that Matthew's father and I and our other three children would ever have agreed to experience the shock and intense grief of Matthew's sudden death. I had no idea what any of our other lifetimes were like, but I just couldn't imagine how the years of pain that all of us felt after Matthew died could help us grow spiritually. A few months after he and I started communicating, and I had been recording our long conversations every day at the computer, he told me more about our family's agreement. He said that I chose the special mission to receive information from him and many other off-planet souls and make it available to all receptive people. Well, in the 13 years since then, I have been doing that through the four Matthew books, Matthew's monthly messages that are archived on many internet sites, some public speaking, teleconferences, guest appearances, and now Matthew and Friends. But I have no memory whatsoever, and not even any intuitive feelings about having agreed to this spiritual information mission. So I've been doing this on faith because I believe what Matthew told me about all of us planning our lifetimes and choosing special missions before we're born is correct. I think our faith and our beliefs are essential to sustain us in our most difficult times. But I want to tell you how excited I was to recently receive verification about our pre-birth agreements and that they do serve the purpose that Matthew explained. This verification came in Robert Schwartz's remarkable and intriguing book, Courageous Souls, with the subtitle, Do We Plan Our Life Challenges Before Birth? Before I introduce Rob, I want to give you the toll-free phone numbers to call later in the program. With each of these shows, I have learned something new about hosting. And last month, I learned that if I have only one guest, there is an open line for you to call and ask questions or make comments. And I hope you will do that later on. Now, those numbers are, in the United States, 877-876-5227. And in Canada, the number is 888-810-8322. I'll repeat those numbers. And I don't remember if I told you they are toll-free, but they are in the United States, 877-876-5227, And callers from Canada, call 888-810-8322. And now, hello, Rob. It's an honor to have you with us today. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for inviting me on to Matthew and Friends.
Oh, you are so welcome. Your book, Courageous Soul, captivated me from beginning to end. I'm sure our listeners will feel the same about the fascinating people who share their life stories with you and the mediums who shed further light on why those individuals chose the lives they did. Rob, first of all, will you share with us, please, what inspired you to think about gathering material for a book like Courageous Soul?
Well, Susie, this all started in May of 2003. At that time, I was living in Evanston, Illinois, and I was self-employed as a marketing and communications consultant, and I felt tremendously unfulfilled by the work that I was doing. I often felt that if I were to fall off the face of the earth, my clients would just plug someone else into my role and no one would know that I was even gone. And I also felt that there must be a higher calling or a higher purpose to my life, but I had no idea what that might be. And I had tried very conventional ways of figuring that out. You know, I went to career counselors, I asked friends and family what I should do, and invariably they would either advise me to they would either say they didn't know or they would tell me to do whatever they were doing, and as you can imagine, that wasn't particularly helpful. But one day, a new and very different sort of idea came to me, and that was that I should consult a psychic medium. Now, I had never done anything like this before, nor had I known anyone who had. And at the time this idea came to me, I wasn't quite sure how I'd come up with it. Now, in retrospect, I think my spirit guides were whispering in my ear and suggesting to me that I go to a medium, but at that time, I didn't even know what a spirit guide was. But anyway, I got on the internet and started researching mediums, and I found somebody who I felt comfortable with. So I set up an appointment with this person, and the appointment was on May 7th of 2003. The reason I remember that date is that that was the day on which my life changed. In this session with the medium, she channeled my spirit guide, and she explained to me that a spirit guide is a highly evolved, non-physical consciousness with whom we plan our lives, and who guide us through those lifetimes after we incarnate. And she channeled my guide, and through her, I was able to converse with them. One of the things that came up in this conversation with my spirit guides was that they introduced me to the concept of pre-birth planning. And they said, you planned many of your greatest challenges before you were born. Well, as you can imagine, I was in a state of disbelief over this, and I said to them, why in the world would I have wanted to do that? And they said, you did this for purposes of spiritual growth. So we went on to talk a little bit about some of my specific challenges and why I had planned them. And after this session was over, I was absolutely astounded by this information. And I continued to think about it constantly in the weeks and the months to come. It really helped me to reframe many of the quote-unquote bad things that had happened to me in life. Because when those things had happened initially, I hadn't seen any deeper purpose to them, and because the suffering seemed to be meaningless, it was that much worse. But now, with this information that I had planned many of these experiences, the suffering that at one time seemed so meaningless, now it took on a deeper purpose. And I realized that if people knew they had planned their challenges before they were born, the suffering would be reduced, they would see much greater meaning in the things that were happening to them, and they could go about learning the lessons from those experiences in a much more conscious manner. They could also let go of feelings like anger, blame, guilt, and replace them with feelings of peace and joy and even gratitude for the challenges that had caused them to grow. So I resolved to write a book about this. And the first thing that happened after that was that I was introduced to a woman who has the ability to channel her soul, her higher self. So I asked her, can I interview your soul about your pre-birth planning? And she agreed. So I spoke with her soul for a total of about 15 hours over 5 different meetings, and I interviewed her soul directly. I asked what challenges were planned for this person's lifetime and why. And her soul told me in great detail about the challenges that had been discussed in the pre-birth planning session, which challenges had been selected and why, which ones had not been selected and why not. So this information formed the foundation of the research that I would go on to do for the next 3 years. And after these sessions were over, I decided that I would go ahead with writing my book about pre-birth planning. And shortly after that, I came into contact with four mediums and channels who, not coincidentally, had the exact collection of skills that I would need in order to do this research. So one of them is Deb Dabari in the Chicago area. Deb is very skilled at speaking with deceased loved ones, much in the way that you're able to talk with Matthew. Deb was able to talk to the deceased loved ones and friends of people I interviewed, and so we could ask them directly, what did you plan with this person before he or she was born, and why did you plan it? Then there's Glenna Dietrich, who is a trance channel in Minnesota, and she was able to channel generally angelic consciousnesses who were acting as guides to the people I interviewed, and then I could ask them, what did this person plan and why? The third medium is Corby Mitlead, who's in New York, and Corby has an interesting ability in that she can channel another person's soul. So through her, I was once again able to interview souls directly and ask them what had been planned. And then the fourth person is Stacy Wells in Arizona. Stacy actually has the ability to see and hear the pre-birth planning sessions we have with each other. So through her, we were able to eavesdrop, so to speak, on the planning sessions, and I was able to obtain the actual conversations that people had with their future parents, their future children, spouses, friends, and other loved ones when they were planning these challenges together in spirit before incarnating. So this research took place over the course of about 3 years, and Courageous Souls, Do We Plan Our Life Challenges Before Birth, came out in December of last year. And as I said, the main purpose is to help people see deeper meaning in suffering that may appear on the surface not to have any deeper meaning.
Thank you, Rob. That was a wonderful explanation of your inspiration and where it led you. One of the things Matthew told me is that the psychic medium that I went to after he died in trying to cope with my grief, that I was led to them. I'm sure you were too. Everything is an aspect of the synchronous happenings in our lives, and there are no coincidences. I just want to mention to readers that, or to listeners, there are two reasons why I don't read many books. I'm always so busy that I have very little time to read anything. But the more important reason is what Matthew has explained. When there's something I need to know, usually because it confirms information that I've received from my sources, I feel a strong nudge to read a specific book or a channeled message. But otherwise, the less I know about what others have written or learned and the information that other telepathic receivers are disseminating, the less possibility there is that my own thoughts about that information can bleed into the transmissions I receive. So it's very rare that I can recommend any book. Well, I do recommend the Matthew book, but I know that I was led to read Courageous Souls because it is such an important book, not just for me to read, for deeper understanding of my own life and the challenges that I have faced, but for everyone. Even though this is the stories of a few specific individuals that Rob has interviewed, and their personal reasons for choosing the challenges that they did, this information all of us can apply to our own lives. Rob, would you, I know that at the end of your book, you list contact information for the four psychic mediums whom you mentioned, and also the people who were willing to share their stories with you. I'm sure that it must be comfortable for you to speak about some of these individuals. So would you do that, please?
I'd be happy to, Susie. The book is organized by type of life challenge, and each chapter focuses on one particular challenge. I tried to choose very common challenges because I wanted to make the book as practical and as helpful to as many people as possible. So in one of the first chapters, I talk about the pre-birth planning of physical illness. And in that chapter, there are two stories, John, who actually planned the experience of AIDS before he was born, and Doris, a woman who planned to have breast cancer. The next chapter is on the parenting of handicapped children, and it tells the story of Jennifer Stewart, a single mother in Florida, who has three children, two sons, and both of the sons are autistic to varying degrees. And Jennifer and the souls of her two sons planned their autism before any of them were born. The next chapter is on deafness and blindness, and there's a story of Penelope, who was born completely deaf, and Bob, who was rendered blind shortly after birth in an accident in the hospital. Then there's a chapter on drug addiction and alcoholism, and in this chapter I have the story of Sharon and her son Tony, who together planned his heroin addiction before either one of them was born. And then there's the story of a gentleman named Pat, who experienced decades of alcoholism, and all of that was planned. There's a chapter on death of a loved one. And in this chapter, I tell the story of Valerie Villars, who lost her only child to an accidental drug overdose when he was in his teens, and also a fiancé. And in the case of the fiancé, he actually was killed in a diving accident just about 48 hours after they got engaged. So it was a very tragic loss. And the final chapter is on physical accidents, and there are two stories there. Jason Thurston, who was rendered quadriplegic in a diving accident in the swimming pool in his backyard, and again, something that he planned before birth. And a very unusual story, a woman named Christina, who was in a bomb explosion. And by working with Stacy, we were able to listen in on the conversation in which Christina and the bomber actually planned the explosion in which she would be the victim. So it's really quite a remarkable story. Now, to say a little bit more about a couple of these, to give your listeners a feel for why souls would want to plan these experiences. In the chapter on deafness and blindness, Penelope, a young African-American woman, she's in her 20s now, and in the life immediately prior to this one, she had the same mother that she has in this lifetime. Now, in that lifetime, the mother was shot to death by the mother's boyfriend when Penelope was a small child. She didn't actually witness her mother being shot to death, but she was nearby and she heard the gunshots that killed her mother. And as you can imagine, she was quite traumatized by that sound. So she eventually committed suicide in that lifetime because of her grief. And when she was back in spirit planning this current lifetime, there was a lot of healing of unresolved grief that she wanted to do. And her spirit guide said to her, "My dear, would you prefer to be born deaf so that you don't experience a similar trauma in the coming lifetime and so that you can process much of the healing on an unconscious level?" And Penelope said, "Yes, that is what I want. That is what I wish to do." So she also chose to do this because she wanted to have the experience of compassion in this lifetime. She wanted to express compassion for the less fortunate, the people in our society who are marginalized, people like many in the deaf community. And she's done exactly that. She's taken her compassion, which she developed through the experience of being deaf, and she became a teacher to other deaf people. Now, one thing that I find very interesting about Penelope's story, you know, I'm often asked, in my research, do I see evidence of souls being evil or bad, so to speak? Well, in Penelope's pre-birth planning session, the soul of the person who murdered her mother in the previous lifetime stands up and he says, I volunteer not to incarnate, not to be on Earth, when you, Penelope, and your mother reincarnate. And the reason he volunteers this is because he believes that Penelope and her mother will have a better incarnation with less trauma in it if he's not in body at the same time they are. And I find this to be quite extraordinary, because if you think about what's happening there, in the past life, this is somebody who was a murderer. It's somebody that we would condemn. We would say this is a bad person who should be punished. But on the soul level, look at what he does. He volunteers to defer his own learning and growth, to put off his own incarnation, so that they can have the experience they're seeking. So on the soul level, he is just as compassionate and just as unconditionally loving as any other soul. And this is what I've seen time and time again in my research, that we as souls are unconditionally loving toward each other. We're very much aware of our oneness with each other, and we are motivated to be of service to each other. Now, many times we plan incarnations together so that we can be of service to each other while we're in body on Earth. But here's an example of a soul who is serving another soul not in body. He's in the pre-birth planning session, volunteers not to incarnate because he thinks it will serve Penelope. And so he's just as loving as any other soul. And it's really quite a remarkable story, Susie.
I felt that too as I read that. There was evidence throughout your book that unconditional love among souls is what motivates each to choose what we might call the heavy role. The people who present the challenges to us through the relationships and the ones that society could assess as bad people, as you said. And all of this is done to help each of us become balanced through our various experiencing. And the fact that in spirit form, when these planning sessions go on, all the souls realize that they are inseparable in the oneness of all, and that whatever they choose to do is from this unconditional love that souls do feel, we all do, for each other when we are in spirit. It's only when we are in physical form, in this third density, where we don't remember any of the pre-birth planning. We don't remember what we chose as our challenges and special missions. But we can learn. We can grow from them without knowing the purpose of them if we gain strength from them. But I just feel that the more information we have, the more help we get. And actually, I think that every one of us living on Earth is a courageous soul. We all chose to be living here now during these tumultuous times that are challenging everyone globally. And this is in addition to the personal difficult experiences that we go through. You mentioned in the book, I don't recall with whom, but it doesn't really matter, that we are completing, one of your guides or one of the psychic mediums mentioned that we are completing our karmic experiencing during this time, which is such a, it is unique on Earth. It's actually unique in the universe. When Earth is moving into the higher vibrations, and all of us have the opportunity to complete our third density experiencing, what we chose, and move forward. Would you comment more on that, Rob, please?
Sure, Susie. I believe that many of us are on our last lifetime in the physical realm, and that's why many people have the sense that their life is packed particularly full, so to speak. There are many, many people who have had a number of great challenges, and I think many people feel, you know, when will it end, and how much am I going to have to take on in this lifetime? Well, in many cases, lives now are packed more full than they have been in some other lifetimes, and that's because many people are trying to wrap up their karmic obligations so that they can advance beyond the physical plane and into the higher dimensions, as you imagined. Now, I know that Matthew has spoken to you about how we set up things in our pre-birth plan to balance karma, and this is something that I found in my research. Karmic balancing is one of the most important reasons why we set up life challenges. I know that many of your listeners are familiar with this concept, but just to take a simple example to explain it further, let's say that in a past life, someone was physically ill and someone else was the caretaker for that person. Well, when those two people pass out of body and return to spirit and have their life review, there will be a sense of unbalanced energy between them. And the person who was receiving the caretaking will feel motivated to balance the energy and make it up or return it, so to speak, to the person who was the caretaker. So the easiest way to do that would be to reverse roles in the next incarnation, and frequently that's what happens. The one who is physically ill will become the caretaker, and the one who is the caretaker will choose to experience physical illness. Now, the reason this is such an interesting and challenging life plan is that once in body, they, like all of us, won't have any memory of the plan, just as you don't have a memory of planning to work with Matthew. So the person who is now physically ill may feel angry about or burdened by the illness, and the one who's in the caretaking role may feel angry about or burdened by the need to care for another person. And this is the challenge that we set up for ourselves when we try to engage in karmic balancing. The challenge is, can we express compassion and unconditional love when we don't remember the pre-birth plan and when the circumstances are quite challenging? And if we can, we evolve. If we don't, it's not considered a bad thing. There is no judgment about it, but there would be a sense after the life was over that I'd like to try again. You know, I could do better in another lifetime, and I'd like to try again. And so souls who feel that they weren't able to take advantage of the opportunities they had to express unconditional love and compassion will often plan another incarnation in which they challenge themselves once more to do that again. But as I mentioned, many people are wanting to move beyond the physical plane in this lifetime. And so anybody wanting to do that, the way to do it really is just to be as unconditionally loving as you can in every opportunity and with every person you encounter, including yourself. And that's what I would say to your listeners, Susie.
Thank you, Rob. I'd like to make one clarifying comment here. You referred to our wanting to move beyond the physical plane. I would just like to mention that the only physical plane that we have conscious memory of is this one that we're on now in third density. This is where I have a tremendous opportunity to repeat and repeat and repeat the lessons that we chose that we didn't quite complete. We still need more of that. Or the karmic balancing that Rob was just mentioning. However, there are physical planes beyond third, where We don't have to go through the tumultuous type happenings that says we can see all around us in our world today. And in fact, Earth is moving into fourth and then fifth densities, where there is no negativity because it can't exist in those higher vibrations. So there is no illness. There is nothing that we could call bad or evil in anything that we could consider dark and controlling, because the karmic experiences that we are going through now will be wound up, and those of us whose soul contracts have enough longevity will be going along with Earth physically on her journey, and those whose soul contracts are completed prior to that time, and so we return to spirit life, also have advanced with spiritual growth. Would you say that that's right, Rob?
That's my understanding as well.
My understanding is what I should have said, too.
Yes. Many people refer to this as the ascension process. And it is my understanding that that is what Earth is going through, and those who choose to accompany Earth, as you said. This is something that I often ask about in the sessions that I did personally with the mediums and the channels that I work with. And I don't refer to it in the book because it's a little bit beyond the scope of what I'm writing about, but in the sessions that I did personally with them, I would often ask, and, you know, it was interesting. A lot of people cite the Mayan calendar in 2012, particularly December 21st of 2012, as the date for this. And when I asked when is this going to happen, the answer frequently changed. Sometimes they would say, 2010, and sometimes 2012, and sometimes it was 2016. And when I asked why does the date change, they said it depends on the collective consciousness of humanity. So it's my understanding that this is happening, but as to exactly when it will happen, I don't know the answer to that.
Mm. Yes, well, I can understand that. What Matthew has said is that linear time exists. Well, he's not the only one who has said this, but he has said that linear time exists only on Earth. And what is happening now is that through Earth's ascension process, we are moving out of linear time and into the continuum where timelessness, as we know it, by clocks and calendars, doesn't exist. Also, our sense of distance in miles and light years doesn't exist. So really what is happening is that our response to the change in the energies that are already here with us. And so once we are in the continuum, really 210, 212, and 216, those years really don't exist. And so it's very difficult to give us, a pinpointed date with any accuracy. I'm hoping that our producer is listening, because I think that it's a good time to stop here and see if our listeners have any questions or any comments. Seth or Don, could you open the line, please, for listeners to call in? Rob, I'd like to go back to Bob, Bob's story. There was an accident at birth that had not been planned, and I find this especially intriguing. Now, I have heard of this before because Matthew has told me about souls amending contracts when there is an accident at birth. Now, sometimes births either what we would call handicaps, such as Penelope's deafness, that did happen at birth. Sometimes those do come about through some medical flaw, either a doctor's carelessness or something. And so the soul does have the choice to either physically die, let the infant body physically die, or if it is anticipated even, the soul can withdraw, and so there is a stillbirth. Now, Bob is one of those cases where there is a there is more discussion with the souls involved, because it would change the lifetimes of everybody, all of those who had agreed to share the lifetime. And so Bob's contract was amended. Can you say a little bit more about that, please? Okay, hello again, everyone. I'm sorry about the lines being cut. I lost Rob. I'm not sure if I was off the air and you missed what I was saying about souls amending their contracts when there is an unplanned happening at birth. But at any rate, Rob, are you back?
I'm back, Susie.
Okay, good. Did you hear me asking if you could elaborate a bit on Bob's contract, which was amended after an unplanned event at his birth?
Sure, I'd be happy to talk about that. In the chapter on deafness and blindness, I share the story of Bob Feinstein, who planned a number of challenges before he was born, but blindness was not one of them. But what happened was that at birth, he was born prematurely, and so he was placed in an incubator. And the nurse at the hospital accidentally administered too much oxygen into the incubator, and the excess oxygen damaged the cells of the retinas in his eyes and left him completely blind. Now, when this happened, his spirit guides were immediately aware of it. They were waiting by the side of the incubator, and when he came out of his body, out of the infant's body, they took him back to the planning place in the non-physical realm where he had planned his life, and they explained to him what was happening. They actually showed him images of the baby's damaged eyes, and they said, too much oxygen has been administered in medical air, and the baby is blind, you are blind. You have two options here. You can continue with this incarnation and accept the new challenge of blindness, or you can end the incarnation, return to spirit, and a new lifetime. Now, Bob had some previous incarnations in which he had been quite lonely or experienced a great deal of solitude, such as being a monk, and he felt that this had prepared him for this new challenge of blindness. He knew that the blindness would cause isolation, but he felt that he could handle it, because he had experienced it in previous lifetimes, and he had actually enjoyed the solitude in some of those lives. And so he made the decision that he would accept this new and additional challenge of blindness. When he made that decision, he returned to the infant body and continued with the incarnation. Now, what's really interesting here to me is that his decision to accept the blindness changed other things that were planned for him. For example, Bob planned before he was born to be homosexual, and what he wanted to do specifically was he also planned to marry a woman, and that he would be unaware of his homosexuality at the time of his marriage, or at least not fully accepting of it. And during the course of the marriage, he wanted to grow so much in self-love that he would then go to his wife and say, I am homosexual, and we can't be together anymore. The marriage will have to end because of my sexuality. As you can imagine, that would be a very difficult thing to tell one's partner. But this was the challenge that Bob and his future wife set up. Now, when the accidental blindness occurred and Bob returned to the planning place, they brought in the soul who was going to be his wife and explained to her what had happened, and they made a new life plan. Now, in this case, she was asked, do you still want to be in Bob's life, or would you prefer to do something different? And she said, no, I think we're going to have to cancel this plan that we've made for Bob to identify and accept his homosexuality within the context of a heterosexual marriage, because this new plan is going to change too many other things. It will change where he goes to school. It will change where and how we meet. We won't be able to establish enough of a history together, which is very important for him. And so I think it's best that he and I not continue with this plan. So Bob talks to her, and he expresses that he would still like to experience this challenge with her. And they decide that they can be together again 3 lifetimes from now. But for the current lifetime, now that Bob is going to be blind, he will have to accept his homosexuality on his own in a different way and in a different time. So the decision that he makes to experience blindness, it changes everything, and it changes the plan with his future partner in the marriage.
I think that is especially interesting. I had heard from Matthew about how contracts may be amended in the case of an unplanned event at birth or, you know, immediately afterwards, and how the principals involved need to agree that all will accept the additional challenge or the major change. So it goes back to all the souls caring so much about each other that the woman's decision, the soul of the woman who would have become his wife out of her love for him, she opted out for the reasons that she stated, and that they made an agreement 3 lifetimes hence. This is possible in the continuum where everything is now, where what we call past and present and future are happening simultaneously. This is just mind-boggling to me, but it is where we have total understanding of who we are, where souls are unconditional love, and we choose to serve each other in the way that will most benefit each other. Rob, will you please mention your website? And I understand that you have a toll-free number that you would like people to contact you if they can supply you with information.
Yes, if anybody would like to order a copy of Courageous Souls, they can do so at www.courageoussouls.com by going to the Order the Book page. Or if someone would prefer to order by phone, they can call toll-free 800-742-0148. You can also order the book at any local bookstore or library by giving them the title. And so it's available widely throughout the country.
And I'm so glad it is. I feel it is such vital information for people to know. It can be so, so helpful. And even though it is specific individual stories, there is so much information general information that applies to them, that applies to all of us too. And it can be so beneficial to us to have that extra information, I think. I will take this opportunity to mention that on the Matthew and Friends June 13th show, my guest will be Valerie Donner. Valerie is a spiritual counselor, channel, teacher, and an intuitive reader and healer. She works deeply at the heart and soul level where healing is needed. And so it's Valerie will be sharing information that pertains to what we choose in our lives, but at a different level from what Rob and I have been talking about today. Well, primarily you, Rob. You can read more about Valerie. She's also the founder of the Ground Crew website and sends out monthly Ground Crew updates. On her website is www.thegroundcrew.com. We're getting very close to the end of this program, Rob, so I want to thank you with all my heart for all the sharing that you did today. Would you please mention your website again? And then, to wind up today's program, what special thought would you like to leave with us?
Susie, the website is www.courageoussouls.com, and people can order the book, Courageous Souls, Do We Plan Our Life Challenges Before Birth, at that website by going to the Order the Book page, or they can call toll-free 800-742-0148. Once again, it's 800-742-0148. As far as special thoughts for your listeners, the one thought I would leave them with is, you know, in the many sessions that I do with the mediums and the channels in my research, I talk with many, many consciousnesses that are non-physical. And they often talk to me and tell me what great beings we are as humans, how we are respected and admired and revered throughout the universe. And the reason they say this is that it really does take a tremendous amount of courage to incarnate here on Earth. You know, there are many beings who never have a physical incarnation, and there are others who have incarnated on Earth, but they're finished with their incarnations, or perhaps they're just taking a break from them. And all of those beings know how difficult it can be to have a physical lifetime on planet Earth. So when they say that we are revered throughout the universe, they very much mean that. And we are revered everywhere for having the courage to live here on the physical plane and take on these challenges. We are sparks of God in physical form. And so I would say to your listeners that when you feel unworthy or you start to define yourself in terms of your perceived limitations or your perceived faults, remind yourself that you have a tremendous amount of courage to come here, and not just to come here, but even more so to carry out the life plan. The courage really, I think, is more in the living of the plan than the creation of it. We are all divine, eternal beings who took form temporarily in body to grow and learn certain lessons, and in particular to learn how to give and receive love unconditionally. That, I think, is what we're doing here. And so often we lose sight of who we really are. But one of the reasons I wrote Courageous Souls is to remind people you are a divine, holy, eternal soul. And that's the thought that I would leave your listeners with.
That is a beautiful thought. Thank you so much, Rob. Thank you for being with me today. Matthew and I send you love and all blessings in your life. And to all of our listeners, love and peace to you all. And thank you again, Rob, and goodbye, everybody, for this month.